Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for a Wednesday listener question show. We're going to have a question from listener Stephanie, and the title of the question is Help a Crazy Teacher Out. So you know we're going to do just that. She's taking over 100 students down to Walt Disney World next week, and we're going to talk about some of the things they may want to do and some of the headaches she might be in store for. It's going to be a great time, I'm sure. As a former teacher, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but seriously, great time. We're going to talk about that and much more. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm looking down at my iPhone XS Max, and I can see that we're down to just 14 days to go, 2 weeks until we head down to Walt Disney World. We're staying at the B Hotel in Disney Springs. It's a big white tall tower hotel, kind of like the old Hojo. It's going to be a great time. I'm sure we're going to have lots of stories because we're going down for the cheerleading championships, and I'm getting excited. Every time I place a phone call, post to social media, get a text message, I can see how many days I have left to go. You can do the same right now. Turn your Apple device into a Disney device. Check them out over at virtualmickey.com. When you do that online shopping, please support the Be Our Guest podcast at the same time. Just use our Amazon affiliate link. It's at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show with each and every purchase. Bookmark it on all your devices. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1473 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Thank you so much for tuning in, downloading, streaming the show. Yeah, that feels good. That's how we do the intro to our podcast. I briefly forgot.
Seems to fit.
It does seem to fit. I can't believe after about 1,500 shows, I forgot how we enter the podcast each week. So anyway, we're here. We're going to have a good time, and so excited that you are here as well. Joining me today to answer your listener questions, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. What's going on, Pam? Has spring sprung out in Pennsylvania?
No.
Did it get you? Well, here, it's going to be 80 tomorrow. It's 65 right now, but it was below freezing this morning on my run. So the weather's crazy.
No, we had actual snow today. I was like, what in the world is happening? What in the world is happening? Yesterday we were in Pittsburgh, and at some point it was humid during the day. I mean, it actually felt humid. And then this morning, wake up, boom, snow.
It's crazy. I had to run on the treadmill yesterday because it was snowing and sleeting here yesterday. And then it's going to be 80 tomorrow. So
bad. So anyways, I'm just so, so ready to get real spring happening here. So
2 weeks and I head down to, you know, I'm excited. I found out because I did a little research today. Again, I didn't book this trip. It's all cheerleading. It's a group thing. I'm just going along being a cheer dad and not driving the bus because, you know, the person who drives the bus usually gets yelled at. So I'm smarter than that with a bunch of cheer moms. So I'm just going and I'm like, Disney, never heard of it. You know, like,
I've been there once, but it was a long time ago and I didn't remember.
Yeah. So staying at, but I'm just excited. It's called the B, just one letter B, like Bambi or like Belle or something. And it's a big, tall, white building in Disney Springs. And, but it's got spa in the name. So it's got to be fancy. It's a resort and spa. So there you go. I have to get a pedicure.
Okay. Maybe. Sure. We'll give you a check on that. Sure.
All right. Sure. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, excited just to be down at Walt Disney World. I've already got my runs planned out, running down a resort. What's it called? Hotel Resort Boulevard over to the Springs. Then head into Saratoga, run on their paths, maybe over to Old Key West. That's a good morning right there.
Oh, for sure. And then, like, on your run, you could stop at Olivia's for breakfast.
Heck yeah, you know that, baby.
I'd be like, oh, wait. That's look why. What's here. It's Olivia's. must be time for breakfast.
That is why I am running to go to Olivia's. All right, let's get to the questions. That's why we're here. So Stephanie's got a great one. I love the title. We talked about this in the ad read at the top. Crazy teacher alert. So you know it's going to get my attention. Hey, BOGP crew. I've been called crazy multiple times since booking my upcoming trip to Walt Disney World. I'm a middle school counselor and teacher at a Christian school here in Jackson, Tennessee. One of my jobs is to book our 8th grade field trip. We've always gone to Chicago for a few days. However, last fall, I took my family to Disney for the first time and fell in love with Walt Disney World. After our trip, I discovered the Disney Youth Education Series, the YES program, and began frantically searching to see if this would work for us. Long story short, I canceled our Chicago trip. Always a good idea. No, just kidding. Unless you're going to the Cubs game. Actually, I like Wrigley Field anyway. But anyway, canceled Chicago trip and booked 105 people. Yes, I said 105 on a trip to Walt Disney World this April 23rd to the 27th. Pam, are you sweating yet? 105 people. Oh my gosh.
It's a lot. It's a lot to coordinate. Great job putting it all together is all I have to say.
We'll see how much hair you have.
Groups are the most challenging thing, I think, to deal with, really and truly, because everyone has different expectations, right? And then as a travel agent, you're communicating typically with like a point person, but what if the uncle is like, well, I don't like any of this. Seriously. And you're like, oh, so anyway.
Yeah. Uncle Al's like, Al's, I want the turkey leg. And you're like, right. Well, we'll get you a turkey leg, Al. Just hang in there with us. Anyway, let's get back to her question. She says, the planning has been insane, but I've loved every minute of it. Even the lengthy phone conversations with the Disney helpline. Every person has his or her own My Disney Experience account. So that is complicated matters, but it was worth it for them to navigate their own fast passes and dinner reservations. Anyway, I have a couple of questions on which I would love some guidance. Number one, this trip must be educational. We're doing the motion and physics lab on Splash Mountain, so that'll definitely cover our day at the Magic Kingdom. I know that Epcot is super educational, but I would love to have some suggestions for specific educational activities for these teenagers to do while they are there. They'll be creating video blogs of their trip, so anything they can video would be grateful. We'll be here during Flower and Garden, so anything pertaining to that would work for us as well. And she's got two other just quick little nuggets. So let's talk about education at Epcot. First of all, with the 8th graders, that's a great, I mean, I think what I would say is, you know, they're getting some physics and motion stuff over at the Magic Kingdom with Splash Mountain. You could do that with really any kind of coasters with physics. But I have to say, especially for somebody that lived in the Midwest my whole life and had very limited opportunity to get to speak to people outside of, let alone the Midwest, but outside of the country, I would have them go around and really explore the cultures in World Showcase, the 11 countries. And, you know, with the video blogging, you know, maybe a top three things you learn in each country and possibly try to speak to a cast member from that country to include in each one of the vlogs. But that's what I would say. It'd be a good start, Pam. But what do you think?
I think too. So there are so many educational opportunities, I think, at Disney World and I think in Epcot, like you were talking, Mike, to do a little video blog on that. I think honestly, I would give them a theme. So I would talk about, and these aren't things that they necessarily have to purchase, but the talk about a food item that they saw in the country, because I think that speaks a lot to each country, the food items that they have. A souvenir item that they thought was interesting and why they thought it was interesting in Epcot. And then maybe a little piece of trivia or something else, something they learned from talking to one of the cast members that works in the country. And I think if each child did a video blog for each one of those stops in the country, I think you'd have a solid, like, look, I actually learned something on my trip kind of thing, right? A video to share. And I know over at the Mouse for Less, they actually have a little section on the educational opportunities at Walt Disney World. There's some ideas for each park and things that you can do at each park. But I think that there's so many chances for that. You know, even in the Magic Kingdom, when you think about not just the math and physics part of it, but think about Liberty Square, there's lots of opportunities there too. So, you know, the Muppets are talking about the Constitution.
That's true. That's true. And it's fun. That's true.
It is. That's true. It is.
And I think, too, you know, very good point as a teacher, Pam, is to give them guidelines. You know, don't just say, you know, hey, there's 11 countries. Let's learn something about the country. I like, you know, these three things are the goals. You know, let's get a food, a person, you know, and some kind of historical fact. I like that because it gives them because, you know, in education, it's big to have a scoring guide. And that's basically just giving you the goals for the blog. I like it. All right.
The rubric.
Question number two. We arrive at MCO at 4 o'clock on Tuesday and do not have park passes that day. Could you recommend some ideas for a few smaller groups of about 20 to do that evening? We'll be staying at Pop, but can travel around as needed. I thought of watching the fireworks somewhere, but didn't know where a larger group could get together to do so. So where would you say like a non-park day on arrival, groups of 20, staying at Pop, maybe, man, the Skyliner is going to be nice when that's open, but it won't be for your trip because you could just hop in and, you know, get over to the Epcot resort area very easily. But for right now, I mean, you could obviously catch a bus anywhere on property, but, you know, I might just settle in over at Pop Century and just kind of explore, maybe swim and, just walk around and take it in because, again, you know, you want to be keyed up, but you may want to go to Disney Springs. I don't know. What do you think, Pam?
I think absolutely. I think on your first day, so many people, you know, myself included, think, oh my gosh, I want to jump into it and go and do something. But there's absolutely some value in hanging out at your resort and actually enjoying it, like forcing yourself to do that. Because, you know, as the trip goes on, sometimes you get involved in so many other things that you really, that opportunity never comes back, to having an opportunity to just sit there, enjoy the pool, enjoy the dining locations, kind of walk around there. There's some really cool photo opportunities. I would make sure that you schedule some time to get some photos of the groups with those different icons. That's really fun. Because you're staying at Pop too, you'll be able to walk over to Art of Animation. You can't use the pool over there, but you can dine in their food court area, which I think has a lot of great options too. So if you really want to go and do something, honestly, I would head to Disney Springs. Getting to a location where you can watch the fireworks outside the park is going to be challenging because it's typically going to be at a resort and you're going to have to take a bus to a park and then a bus again to get to that resort. And with, you know, traveling with that many people, I think that's sort of challenging, but buses go directly to Disney Springs. There's a lot to do there. I would look at maybe doing, you know, the big balloon. I think the characters in flight thing is so cool. And again, that would add to the educational aspect of your trip, and it's just good fun. But if you don't want to do that, there's lots of places to eat. Give people a little time to shop, bring home that perfect souvenir, and it'll be a great memory.
Isn't your daughter Hannah scared of the balloon, I thought?
Oh my goodness, and she's done it. I mean, it's an odd thing to be scared about something that you've already done, right? I don't know. She said that she won't do it again. Every time we eat at the boathouse, we've been sitting outside a lot and watching it. And she's like, look at it. It's all the way over there.
It does shift. I'm with her. I mean, I'm worried that I've never been up in it, but I know that I went to a media thing and my Pam and Paige and Mallory went over to Disney Springs and did it while I was away that day. And they said they had a good time, but I'm just scared the cable's going to break and I'm either going to end up in Gainesville or Cuba. I don't know, depending on the wind.
I think they'd shoot you down before you got
there. So. Yeah, that's right. That makes me feel a whole lot better. Yep. I can see the cartoon. I'll just be like, yeah, and end up, I won't go very far, but I'll go very fast for just a few minutes. Anyway, let's get to make a really cool sound. All right. The third question is, unless this trip is a disaster, I plan to continue this trip each year. Next year, I'll book 180 days out. Do you know of any restaurant that could seat around 100 people at the same time? I would love to do a character meal or somewhere like Ohana all together on the night we arrive, but I didn't know if that was a possibility. If so, would I need to call to book that before 180 days or right at that time? So, Pam, talk to us about, you know, when you have an excessively large group, say, you know, triple digits, 100 folks, what do you do with dining? Do you call the restaurant directly? I mean, do you book, you know, five groups of 20? What's a good practice for that?
You're going to want to get in touch with group dining. You can call Disney, you know, do it like a month before you can actually make reservations or so and discuss with them what you would like to do. I don't know that they're going to be able to accommodate you because in a lot of cases that would mean, you know, taking up just about the whole restaurant or a big chunk of the restaurant. So you may not be able to do that. But see what they can do and work with you on. If you're booking groups directly through Disney, you have a group sort of, you know, through youth groups, they are sometimes able to assist with that. And you'll want to talk with your coordinator on that.
All right, let's get to a question. Actually, let's finish up that one. Sorry. And she says, I discovered a show about a year ago when planning our first family trip to Walt Disney World and have listened since to every single episode. I fell in love with Disney and Disney planning in the last year, and your show was a big part of that. So thanks. Sorry for the lengthy email. I did genuinely try to make it as concise as possible. Thanks for all you do and for the help with our trip. She's 261 miles from me, 374 from Ricky, but not right now. She's a lot more than that. 690 from Pam and 820 from Cinderella Castle. She says, thanks so much and go Cards. And good luck on the rest of your year and have a great trip. You know, the thing is, I know this is a crazy trip and there's going to be issues. I mean, when you, I'm just telling you, you're taking kids, you're taking middle school kids. Good luck. But the thing is, you got to remember, even if there's a challenge or a tough time, probably half or more of these kids will have an experience they'll never, maybe not have the opportunity to have the rest of their life. So it's great that you're advocating for them and taking, you know, you're taking on the burden so that these kids can have something they'll remember forever. So I love that. I love that.
I agree. It's an undertaking, and you have to look at the challenges as, I think, part of the experience, right? Like, a challenging thing doesn't have to be a negative, and there absolutely are going to be very challenging things when you're taking a group of kids this age, but it's going to be a great time, and you're, you know, I agree with Mike. It's great that you're advocating for them to do something like this.
So. Remember, if you go down with all of them and come home with all of them, it's a success, no matter what happens in between.
Yes. For sure. For sure.
All right. I mean, even if there's, you know, run-ins with the law, it's a Christian school, I get it, but I mean, hey, we all make mistakes, so we're going to be fine. Middle schoolers make bad choices sometimes, but you know, can't help. That's part of growing up. All right. Jennifer's got a question in the chat. Doing non-park pre-cruise night at Pop Century with a 10-year-old, any restaurant recommendations for her age? She may not want to make me pay for steak at the boathouse, but anything else? Oh, she may want to buy the girl. The 10-year-old may want the steak at the boathouse, but maybe she's looking to avoid that bill. Any other option? You know, I think a 10-year-old, well, if she likes steak at the boathouse, she's got a good taste. I was thinking the food court at Pop Century, because that's usually what a 10-year-old would like. I mean, my 22-year-old would prefer that. Pam, what do you say? What do you say for a pre-cruise? Because you're going to be eating fat. Here's how I look at going on a cruise, and you're staying before. I'm budget friendly, otherwise known as cheap. I tend to not eat fat before the cruise because I know that I have all that food coming my way during the cruise. I'm just going to food court it that night before because, hey, why spend the money you don't have to? But what do you say, fam?
Well, so if you do want to go to the boathouse, there are some options that get you in the steak zone without having to pay an arm and a leg. They have those little sliders, those filet mignon sliders. And I think probably
Christ. I get those. Yeah, because that's cheap
what
chicken.
You get,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's not a bad deal. And they're also, let her know about that Gibson burger. It is a good burger. It's ground steak. So, I mean, whatever. But you're going to be on the Skyliner line. And you'll be able to head on over to Caribbean Beach, which has the lovely Sebastian's. And we ate there over Thanksgiving and had just a really good meal. It was fun. That restaurant is beautiful. And when you walk into that lobby at Caribbean Beach now, it is nice. They really, it's been a huge upgrade. And I think Sebastian's is a part of that as well. Remember, you can see the tops of the Epcot Illumination Fireworks from Caribbean Beach. Just step outside there or hang out at Banana Cabana if you happen to be in the area, and you'll be able to see them there. But I would absolutely recommend Sebastian's. But make sure you go over to the Mouse for Less and check out the menu. Because it has, I don't think, an unusual menu, but it's like a menu themed to that resort. So make sure there's something that you like. But everything we had, and we had a big group, so we tried just about everything, was really good. So have fun.
Yes. All right. Chip Robinson in our live chat here on Facebook has a question. Perfect age for kids to go on a Disney cruise. I've got a girl who's 5, a boy who's 3, and a 3-week-old girl. First of all, not 3 weeks old. They got to be at least 6 months. But here's the thing. I was thinking about this because it popped up about 5 minutes ago in the chat, and I've been pondering it ever since. You know, Mallory, she's asking, like, when am I going to be platinum? And I asked him the other day on the phone. This is ridiculous. She's 11 years old. She'll be platinum in 2 more cruises. She's got this one, the podcast cruise, and 1 more. It's crazy. Nuts. That's just wrong anyway. But regardless, she's always had a good time, and we've taken her ever since. I think the first time she went was on the first podcast cruise in 2011. And so we've gone basically just about every year since. And I can't remember a time where she didn't have a blast. And, you know, this time she's going to be 11 this summer. And of course, she's met friends of the podcast. Emily's probably her best friend, and they're going to be sailing again together on the Dream. And they're already talking about this is the first year that they get to go into the preteen club. They're going to the Edge, you know, so that's all they're talking about is going to the Edge, you know, like they don't have to go to Oceaneers Club or Oceaneers Lab, which they've always enjoyed. But now they're big shots. They're going to the Edge. You know, now they have cell phones and they'll be able to text and so forth. And I mean, it's a whole new ball game. But I mean, it's really been a whole new ball game ever since she's gone. It's just the experience has changed. But I would say kids like optimal, like where they're going to remember it and talk about it and just be blown away, probably like kindergarten age and up, because they can kind of retain and kind of get what it's all about. But what do you say, Pam?
Yeah, you know, I've never been one to be like, I know that people have very strong feelings on when is a perfect time to take your child on certain vacations. We always just did it. For us, you know, when we had Han, it was, she was incorporated as part of our life. So we wanted to do the things that we wanted to do, and we wanted her to be able to experience those things as well. So we always just took her along from, I mean, the time she came home from the hospital, you know, we went out to eat, we traveled, we did, you know, we did all the things that we did before. Of course, you know, I think having children, younger children especially, it's more important that you adhere to their schedule, because if you don't, you know, that then nobody's happy for a while, because there's usually some kind of meltdown at some point. But if you keep them relatively rested and as on that schedule as possible, and same thing on the food schedule too, I think the eating schedule, those are the two things that you're going to have to think about. But there are so many opportunities for everyone to enjoy the shows and other activities on the cruise. I mean, even little kids, if they've been exposed to like seeing a movie or seeing a play or something, will enjoy those awesome shows that take place every night on at the theater. Don't you think, Mike? I mean, I just think there's so many things to do.
They do. And they don't remember the specifics. You know, like they're not going to remember like we will. Like when we go on the podcast cruise this summer, you know, we will go back and, you know, this Christmas time we'll talk about, remember that time where we had the mixology class and, you know, this happened, or, yeah, you know, we were dancing in the, you know, in Evolution that night. You know, we'll remember those specific moments. But I think it's for the really younger set that they'll remember the feelings. Like I was on Mickey's boat, or remember when I met Tinkerbell in the big room, you know, or at dinner, or remember when we drew at dinner and my picture, my little stick guy was on the wall dancing around. I think it's more the generalities, but you got to also remember, Jennifer makes a good point in the live chat, is that, you know, they may not remember it in 10 years, but I mean, I think what's great is that we have some amazing pictures of our family with, you know, little Mallory there. You know, we're all dolled up for dinner and we're on a cruise. I mean, we're doing something that is very special to us. And I treasure those memories in my heart. She doesn't remember them, but they mean a lot to me. I think that's important.
Yeah. You know, when you have kids, you know, you do things every day for them that they're never going to remember, right? I mean, every single day you're reading to them, you're engaging with them, you're teaching them not to touch the stove. I mean, all those things your kids are not going to remember, but you remember, and it contributes to the little person that they're growing into. And I think that that's what's important.
And also remember, like Jennifer also says, train them up for that Jack's diaper dash, because that's bragging rights for the rest of your life. Like you won the diaper dash, put that on your resume for college.
Take a medal home.
That's it. You know what? I'm so stupid, but I kind of make that as a personal goal. I got to win one thing during every cruise. Like whether it's, I don't know, trivia. It could be, well, I'm not going to win the 5K at Castaway Key. I'm slow and it's hot. I'm not going to die over the 5K race, but I will, you know, take you on in trivia or some kind of a game show in the D Lounge. I gotta win something. That's just me.
There you go.
I know, it's sick. All right, Kevin's got the next question. It says, Yahoo! Fantasmic dining package question with a lot of O's. Hi, Mike. Love the podcast. I always look forward to each episode. Going to the World in October of 2019 and just started making dining reservations. We booked the Fantasmic dining package lunch at Mama Melrose, and it says, Fantasmic, first show. However, it appears there is only an 8 p.m. Fantasmic scheduled for that night. If a second show was added, would it be later or earlier than the 8 p.m. announced performance? Trying to figure out if the first show seating is likely to stay at 8 p.m. Thanks for doing the podcast. It brightens my week. Kevin, he's in Brookline, and it says 1,300 miles from Disney World. No clue how far from Pam. I like that. So I don't know where that is, but he's in Brookline somewhere. All right, so Pam, he's in the first show. It just says Fantasmic first show. He's trying to figure out if they add a second show, would it be before or after? I guess it would probably be after 8 because they do like a 10 o'clock show sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And they really have been, you know, this is why it's sort of challenging to plan your day sometimes, because things like the Fantasmic dinner package and even like the dessert party and things like that aren't released sometimes right away at the 180-day mark. Fantasmic dinner package is typically released earlier than the dessert parties are, because they really wait to sort of schedule those to see what the hours are going to be, if the hours are still in flux. But if they do add one, they likely will add one later in the evening. And that happens when the parks are going to be busier. They're trying to, you know, give those folks something to do. There will be the whatever fireworks show that they're showing on, you know, at the night too. So consider that. And they also are doing that, you know, the movie magic kind of thing too. So lots of things to do in Hollywood Studios at night, but probably they will have that Fantasmic dinner package. If they, you know, they'll probably keep that for the first show. They typically don't need to have it for both shows, but you'll just see.
All right. And also huge shout out, because we are recording this podcast today on Boston Marathon Monday on Patriots Day up in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. And a huge shout out to one of our lizards, Chad, who just finished and crossed the line at Boston. How awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is, God, that'd be the greatest. I would love, I was telling Pam, I'd love to do that someday, but Father Time is going to get me first, I think. I don't think I'm going to be running 26.2 much longer. Anyway, all right, next question. Hello from Norway. Hello from Norway, and thank you so much for a great show. Not only do you provide me with my weekly Disney fix, but on my last trip to Disney in November, it really helped me out on the plane to Walt Disney World. I had an injury in my leg, and the plane trip made my leg really swollen and it hurt so much. I was really scared, so I started listening to your show. Now, let's stop there for 1 second. How ironic is it that somebody is getting enjoyment out of our podcast on an airplane? When this show started, I would not touch an airplane, but now I do fly. It's full circle. It's full circle. Anyway, she says, I had downloaded many podcast episodes, and it really helped out a lot, so thank you. So thank you for taking with us. Yeah. She says, I'm a member of the Mouse for Less family and have been a part of that since it was only a Yahoo group. How about that?
That's awesome. That was quite a while ago.
Oh my gosh. And
I know, right? We love that. That's so fun.
And she says, we also use TMFL travel for our trips home to Walt Disney World. So thank you absolutely for that. My family did our first trip, once in a lifetime trip. We've heard that before, back in 2001. And my when my Dee Dee was 5 years old. That's Disney daughter, correct? Is that what we got? Is that what we call it? Deer daughter, Disney daughter?
I never know.
Okay, good. Well, we fell in love with Walt Disney World. So this summer, it'll be our 14th trip to the world. Great job on that once in a lifetime that turns into annual things. So this summer, it'll be my Disney daughter, 23 and me. It, not the company, but she's 23 years old. And there we go. But I'm also bringing my children and youth choir to have a workshop and a performance at Disney Springs. So I have a few questions. Dee Dee and I will probably do a split stay this trip. I'm debating if we should save some money and stay at Pop. We've stayed there before, or All Star Music. Never stayed there. Okay, so what would you say? They've stayed at Pop once before, or should they go try something new at Music? What would you do just off the top of your head?
So, I mean, since those rooms at Pop have been redone, it's really my favorite. Not that it wasn't before, but it's my favorite value resort in terms of that. I think that they did a great job upgrading those rooms. They function better. They have all the new bells and whistles in terms of what you would expect to see in a hotel room. And they have a coffee maker where the other values rooms that have not been updated do not. Now, they're also doing some rooms at Movies. It's, you know, that's taken a little while, and they're still in the middle of that. So I don't know, you know, if you want to consider that one as well. But if you haven't been there to experience the new rooms at Pop, I think they're really worth doing. And it might feel like a new experience to you. Plus, you know, as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, you're within walking distance of Art of Animation. So I love having access to those two different dining locations too. So I know this is so unlike me because, Mike, you know, I resort hop every time I'm there. I'm going to be there in a few weeks, and I'm staying at 5 different resorts. I mean, what the heck? What kind of a crazy person does this? But I love the resorts. But honestly, I would say that you might want to stay with Pop. It's that good. So
I agree. And well, she's also asking, you know, what about, she got a sweet offer on a bounce back for a French Quarter or Riverside. And she's also considering Cabana Bay for, like, she's staying for 14 nights total. Obviously she's coming over from Europe. She's thinking about doing like 4 or 5 nights at Cabana Bay over at Universal, then going to Disney. And you know what? I'm a Disney purist, but God, I loved Cabana Bay. That was my jam. Like, it is just like Pop Century, but a little bit better. I loved it.
It is. And I think when you're staying at, when you're going to be at Universal, you should stay there. For me, Universal is more than a 1 day thing. I want to be staying there at least one night. I would prefer to stay there 2 or 3 nights to really get the whole, scope of it. You have not only the parks, but you also have City Walk, dining opportunities. They have great resorts as well. So if it were me, I would, sort of split it up. I would look hard at that bounce back offer for French Quarter or Riverside, just to see, if I were going to switch from Pop, I would consider that before I would another value. So that's my take on it. But yeah, consider staying over at Universal for the time that you'll be there.
And also, her group's going to be performing at Disney Springs at around 5:30 on July 1st. So go by and say hello. And,
oh, that's awesome.
We're going to be on the cruise. I was like, oh, we'll be there.
We'll have to wave from the ship.
We'll be at sea. But I'd love to. Hey, if you're still there, we get back on the 3rd. We'll try to cross paths. That'd be awesome. Let's see here. Next question is from Emily. Hey, Mike and his fabulous sidekicks. I'm just Mike and you're fabulous. I like it. I'll be competing in my 4th Run Disney event for Princess 2020. The difference this time around is that I'll be solo, and I hate to admit it, but I'm eager for my first solo trip. Yeah, don't get too excited when around those people who are not going. But it's awesome. It's awesome, especially for a run weekend. Because run weekends really is all about you anyway. And it kind of makes you feel bad when you got other folks that aren't running. You're getting up at 2:30 in the morning, probably waking them up, trying to go to bed at 9 o'clock. They want to have fun. Solo trips are awesome. You're doing it right. Anyway, here's my first world problem, and I would love your advice. I have the great benefit to stay where I want. I love Epcot and never stayed at Boardwalk, so that is where I'm booked. I'm doing a short weekend, Friday to Sunday, running the 10K. Additional details. I have a son who's autistic, so we've not been able to sit down and enjoy restaurants as he is not comfortable with the wait time. So I plan to treat myself and enjoy table or signature restaurants for meals. Do I A, stay where I am for easy access to Epcot, or B, move to the monorail loop for easy access to the Magic Kingdom, which is where I plan to go the day of the half, and this year spent 45 plus minutes in traffic trying to get over to the Magic Kingdom on Sunday. In the words of Mike, what say you, Epcot or the monorail loop? 323 days and counting. Thanks, guys. Love you. And I'm from Pennsylvania, Emily. All right. She's in the Keystone State. Anyway, Boardwalk is awesome. Especially for any of the race, most of the race weekends take place at Epcot. Princess, and you got Flying Fish if you want to do, a signature kind of upscale experience to eat there. You could walk into Epcot and eat at Le Cellier. I would stay at Boardwalk, wouldn't you, Pam?
I think she's right. The traffic is challenging on race weekends, and we've talked about
this. It is. It's a mess.
It is. We talked about it and been critical. I hope Run Disney is listening. For as much as they're charging folks to run, you think they could put a little bit of that money into helping ease the traffic concerns for everybody.
But know what? Here's the thing, too. I think I've hacked at least for 2020 marathon, because we've been booking a lot of room only reservations because we can do that. We can't book packages with tickets or dining yet, but we can secure rooms. And we've been doing that a lot here over the past couple of weeks. And I think I have the hack. I don't know if I figured it out, though. I'm staying, and I've always stayed, for Marathon Weekend, I've stayed at Yacht and Beach, I've stayed at Boardwalk. Last year, I stayed at Riverside to save some money. I'm going solo again in 2020. I booked Pop Century because, think about it, with the Skyliner, when I finish the races, this is what I'm thinking, I'm going to walk through Epcot as I finish, just like always, probably grab something at Sunshine Seasons or, grab some nutrition because that you run to eat. But then walk out like I was heading to one of the Epcot Air resorts, hop on the Skyliner, boom, I'm back at Pop Century. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know.
It might be. It really might be. I think, though, the thing I remember is after one of the marathons.
The monorail line.
Yes, that monorail line. And we were so cold. Do you remember how cold we were?
Yes. I just hope it's not that.
We were cold and tired. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. You're just standing there thinking, I have been here on New Year's Eve. I've been on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, the time between Christmas and New Year's. And I swear I've never stood in a monorail line that long. So anyways, Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, I think that there are plus and minuses at both of the hotels that you're talking, the hotel areas that you're talking about. There's absolutely advantage to staying at the Contemporary because, boom, you can walk into the Magic Kingdom and no one else can say that. And that's a great thing. But I absolutely agree with Mike, too, that if you're ending up at Epcot, then at least you can walk to your resort. And that's a huge plus, too.
And the Boardwalk is just, it's a great resort. Think about it. I mean, you got Yachtsman right across the way. You could go over to, I mean, it's nice. It's not signature, but you got Ale and Compass. I really like that restaurant as well.
Yeah, I agree.
All the Epcot restaurants. And I mean, you know, you're a runner. It's an easy walk over to the studios. Say you want to go to Brown Derby or, you know, just have fun and go to Sci-Fi or 50s Primetime. Fun. Because those are kind of, because if your son's autistic, he probably wouldn't enjoy the environment of either one of those most likely because Sci-Fi is very dark and it's kind of ominous and 50s is just loud. It drives me nuts, but I like it, but it's very stimulating. So, all right. Last question of the day. I like this one because it came in titled Seriously Nutty Question and it's from Megan. Hey, BOGP
all right,
group.
Sounds like it's right up our
alley. It is. It's totally right to hear it. Over the last few years, we've enjoyed the nut mix that they have over at Misner's at the Grand Floridian. We have checked the gift shops and cannot find that exact one. Do you know where we can find this mix and if it's available at other bars? We are worried about the change from Misner's into the Beauty and the Beast themed bar that it won't be available anymore. We seriously love this addicting nut mix. Thanks, Megan. All right, Pam, I know you're a huge fan of Misner's. I never got the opportunity to go in there. You know, you think you're going to go, then poof, gone. You know, like, you got to take those. When you got a chance, you got to seize it at Walt Disney World because it may not be there on your next trip. We've learned that many times. But do you know anything about the nuts other than other patrons at Misner's?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, good Lord, I can't believe it.
In a few locations, and you know where else they serve it? I swear we have stayed at the concierge level just for this. They serve it in the most of the concierge lounges at different times. It's sort of a mix that has like nuts and pretzels and other little things in it too. And I do not think that they sell it on Disney property. I've never seen it available for sale for that. I am guessing that in some kind of, you know, and they also have like wasabi peanuts and stuff in it too. I bet if you searched online for different, you know, pub mixes or nut mixes with the, you know, search for those ingredients like the wasabi peanuts and the almonds and the pretzels and things like that, you may find it available. But no, I have never seen it available at one of the, like, you would think that they would sell that, right? At one of the little gift shops or something, but they don't.
Wouldn't you think, though, if, like, you know, you're hanging out there and it sounds like they do like to hang out at Misner's, like you ask the barkeep, you know, he or she may point you in the right direction.
Right. Maybe. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm searching for one right now, actually, while we're recording.
Like, I need this on Amazon Prime. This will be here by Thursday.
No, it's actually a site called arcadesnacks.com, but I bet other places would have it. But it seems to be called the 19th Hole Snack Mix. See if that's the one that you're thinking of, and maybe that will have it. It's a really good mix of sort of savory and sweet. And so guess what? It looks like they have it at walmart.com, too. So.
That would be hilarious if the nut mix you're eating at Misner's is from Walmart. That would be ironic. No,
I'm sure they don't order it from Walmart, but yeah, absolutely. And guess what, Mike? It does look like it is available on Amazon as well through one of the sellers that sells it on Amazon. If it is the 19th hole mix. So try that and see. And if you happen to order it and that's it, let the rest of us know, because my husband and daughter love that mix too. It really, you know what? It's just salty enough that I think it makes you drink a little more, which I'm sure is the goal of that, right?
Right. So, hey, you know, they'll serve you the Walmart nuts for free and then get you to buy the $12 drinks. You know, that's what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that business plan?
That's a vacation. Hello. Some nut mix and a good drink. So,
and that's what you get here on the Be Our Guest podcast. You get a little nut mix and you may need a drink at the end of the show. So there you
go. That's right.
Speaking of the end of the show, that's it for today. Thank you so much for the great questions. You can send those into mike@beerguestpodcast.com. We love getting your questions. And also join us as we go live here on Facebook. Don't forget, today's show has been brought to you by the folks over at virtualmickey.com. They have great apps. You know what? I'll fire mine up right here, and I bet you what we're going to be reading about today, because Ricky is still unavailable. Nope, I don't need the weather. Let me click on the app here to my news folder. see what we got going on here. It's I love the Walt Disney quote as you go in. All right. Let's see here. Some famous person was at Disneyland. Best table service restaurants at Walt Disney World from the Touring Plans blog. New mom, Alex and Ani bracelets are available over at Walt Disney World. Are you into those, Pam?
There's a few that I really like. There's some that are meaningful to me. Like the up ones and stuff like that I really like. And of course I like the Star Wars ones too. So
there's a video about the new grapefruit parking garage at Disney Springs.
You need another parking garage there. I'll absolutely confirm that. So
I'm just saying, grab this app. It's a great thing to, it's great to read while you're having breakfast right before you go to bed at night. It keeps you up to date with everything going on, all the blogs in the blog universe. So check it out. It's a free iOS app over at virtualmickey.com. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And of course, join the Facebook page over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here until we get back together again on Friday. Thanks so much for being a part of the show. You guys rock, and you really do help spread the word. We love it when you leave a rating and a review on iTunes or Stitcher. And more importantly, this week when you're listening, just hit that share button, put it up on Twitter, Instagram, whatever you got. Let people know you're listening to the show, and we'll make the family just a little bit bigger, and we love that. So for Pam, I'm Mike. Wish you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.